Yesterday, we got news that the two most wanted al-Qaeda members in Iraq were killed in a joint operation between Iraqi forces and U.S. armed forces as well. And today, news that yet another commander of al-Qaeda in Iraq was killed. And here's what Joe Biden had to say about it yesterday.
Their deaths are potentially devastating blows to al-Qaeda Iraq. But equally important, in my view, is this action demonstrates the improved security strength and capacity of Iraqi security forces. The Iraqis led this operation.
Joe Biden obviously proud and bragging before reporters yesterday. There was a gun clash on Sunday morning that led to the deaths of two Iraqi leaders of al-Qaeda in Iraq. We're joined now by Jim Muir, BBC correspondent in Baghdad. Jim, what is the latest that we know about whether or not these two deaths from Sunday are confirmed and about this new report of another death today?
It's very hard to say confirmed. What's interesting about the announcements of yesterday are that the Americans, for example, confirmed the death of Abu Omar al-Baghdadi, the second of the men mentioned. Now, in the past, his death or capture has been announced several times by the Iraqis. In fact, just a year ago, Prime Minister Maliki told me in an interview that they'd spent two months tracking him and had captured him, and they paraded a man on TV who they said was Abu Omar al-Baghdadi. Well, now they're saying it wasn't and that he was in fact killed Sunday morning during that overnight attack. What's interesting this time is the Americans have confirmed it. They said, yes, he has been killed. His real name, they say, was Hamid Daoud Muhammad Khalil al-Zawi, not Baghdadi. These are all given names, of course. They're just nom de guerre that these insurgents use. So as far as we know, yes, it's true. It's been announced by the Americans, and that's the key thing, because the Iraqi credibility, frankly, on this issue has not been very great. The key figure really was the first one, Abu Ayyub al-Masri, who is known to have been the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, who replaced Abu Musab Zarqawi when he was killed with a lot of fanfare back in 2006. So it's taken the best part of 4 years to track him down and kill him. Now there's news, of course, of another less known al-Qaeda leader, kind of regional commander in the north, being killed too. So if all this is true, and we have no particular reason to doubt it, this does add up to a pretty substantial blow to the insurgents, the radical al-Qaeda type insurgents in Iraq.
How is it playing out in Iraq? Do the Iraqi people themselves see this as their government gaining control over the country?
I think certainly they're watching it with great interest. It's in all the papers, it's on all the TV stations, and it depends which side of the political spectrum you're on as to how you see it. Some people would see it as a feather in Prime Minister Maliki's cap. It was him who announced it. It's his security forces who, according to Vice President Biden, played a key role in tracking the guys down and finishing them off. However, if you're on the other side of the political fence, you tend to say, oh, it's all a publicity stunt. It may not even be true.
Well, let's ask that of Blake Hounshell. He's the managing editor of Foreign Policy magazine. A feather in Maliki's cap, the death of these al-Qaeda leaders, Blake, but a perhaps bedraggled feather when we also are getting reports that the Iraqi government had a secret prison in which Sunni men were tortured. That prison was shut down by the government's own human rights ministry. But is it a coincidence that these two announcements come at the same time?
Well, it's hard for me to say sitting in Washington, but it certainly seems like the news of the secret prison, which came out, today in the LA Times, or yesterday, excuse me, in the LA Times, and also over the weekend in the Iraqi press, it seems like that's been overshadowed by these al-Qaeda killings. So Maliki seems to have evaded, big headlines around the world saying secret prison revealed in Baghdad for now. But, as the investigations into this facility continue, I imagine we're going to hear more about it.
So as we weigh and measure the security system in Iraq, as we consider the removal of U.S. troops there, how is the equation coming out? Is Iraq ready for U.S. troops to leave the country?
Well, the big worry in Iraq right now isn't al-Qaeda in Iraq, which has really been marginalized since its peak in 2006-2007. The big worry is political instability after the elections. And what we're seeing right now is there's been this recount ordered for Baghdad province, and possibly there are going to be other challenges. And so it's going to be very difficult for a new coalition to form a government in Iraq. And there's going to be a long period of possibly several months of instability where we don't know who's going to be the next prime minister of Iraq, you know, what the government coalition is going to look like. And that's going to lead to a lot of, you know, concern in Iraq over, you know, people's futures. It's not a country where there's no kind of retribution when power changes hands. There's this tradition of payback time when a different group comes into power. So there's a lot of worry in Iraq about what the next government's going to look like.
Well Jim, tell me what this conversation is about this in Iraq when they talk about the political stability or instability in the country as they're trying to form a coalition government, and Nouri al-Maliki perhaps tarnished by news of his secret prison, but perhaps this announcement of deaths of leaders of al-Qaeda is an expression of strength coming from the government as they're trying to establish a government there after the elections.
Well, obviously, his side are trying to milk it, and of course, the other side are seizing on other things. For example, one of the TV stations that's very much against him and in the line of kind of the Sunnis and certainly the Alawi-led secular alliance, which did pretty well in the elections, they've really seized on this secret prison issue, and they're running that as their lead item and milking it for all it's worth. So it's a very, very highly politicized atmosphere here at the moment, and it could go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. This decision to recount the Baghdad vote, for example, sets everything back by probably around 3 weeks. It's going to take that long just to count the Baghdad votes manually all over again. And that's then just the beginning of the process. The federal court has to certify the election results. Only then will they be taken as the real starting point for serious negotiations to form the coalition that will be necessary to make up the government, because none of the factions is strong enough to do it on their own. You'd think it would be simple. There's only four major blocks. But getting, and everybody, the other thing is, everybody agrees they should all be in the government, but actually figuring out who should be in charge of the government, who should get what share of the power, is going to be a very, very tricky and very protracted wrangle.
Well, look, we only have two major parties in the United States, and we can't seem to agree on anything either. That's Jim Muir, BBC reporter in Baghdad. Also heard from Blank Hounshell. He's the managing editor of Foreign Policy magazine. Thanks to both of you.